जे राधा मदावा कुंज बिहारी। कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बालाभा गिरिभर धारे। जैया गोपी जन भालाभा गिरिभर धारे। यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जामुना तीरा बना छे जमुना तीरा बना छे जैया राधा मधाभा कुंज बिहारी। जैया राधा माधाभा कुंज बिहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य आशुतोतरशत शिष्यमाधि सेवाइंग ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य आशुतोतरशत शिष्यमाधि सेवाइंग ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस्कॉन फंदर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की। करंतराज श्रीमन भागवतम की निताई गौर प्रेमानंदी। ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरी टू शिशि गुरु वंशी गौरंगा। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, entitled the Soman Bonon, Chapter 10, entitled the Deliverance of the Two Jamala Arjuna Trees, text number 18. Sadhunam Samachittanam Mukunda Charanaishinam Upeksha kim dhanat stambair Asabdhir asadbhir asad asrajai Shadhunam samachittatnam Mukunda charanaishinam upekshai kim dhanastam bhair asad bhir asad asrajai sadunam samachittanam mukunda charanaishinam upekshai kim dhanastam bhair asabhir asat asrajai. Please chant. Sadhunam of saintly persons, samachittanam of those who are equal to everyone, mukunda charanam eshinam whose only business is to serve Mukunda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who are always aspired to that service, for that service, sorry. Upekshai, neglecting the association. Kim, what? Dana stambhai, rich and proud. Asadbhi, with the association of undesirable persons. Asad asrajai, taking shelter of those who are asat or non-devotees. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Saintly persons, sadhus, think of Krishna 24 hours a day. They have no other interest. Why should people neglect the association of such exalted spiritual personalities and try to associate with materialists, taking shelter of non-devotees, most of whom are proud and rich? For poor. A sadhu is one who is engaged in devotional service to the Lord without deviation. Bhajate man ananya bhak. titikshava karunika sruhidat sarvadehinan ayata satava shanta shadava shadu bhushana. Quote, the symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies, he is peaceful, he abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. Bhagavatam 3:25-21. A sadhu is sruhida sarvadehinan, the friend of everyone. Why then should the rich people, instead of associating with sadhus, waste their valuable time in associating with other rich men who are averse to a spiritual life? Both the poor man and the rich man can take advantage of the Krishna consciousness movement. And here it is advised that everyone do so. There is no profit in avoiding the association of the members of the Krishna consciousness movement. Narottam Das Thakur has said, Satsanga chadikai nu ashate vilas te karangalagila je karma banda bhansa. If we give up the association of sadhus, saintly persons engaged in Krishna consciousness, and associate with persons seeking sense gratification and accumulating wealth for this purpose, our life is spoiled. The word asat refers to avaishnava, one who is not a devotee of Krishna, and sat refers to a vaishnava, Krishna's devotee. One should always seek the association of vaishnavas and not spoil one life by mixing with avaishnavas. In Bhagavad Gita 7:15, the distinction between vaishnava and avaishnava is enunciated. Namandu skritino mudha prapadyante naradama mayaya aprahita jnana ashuram bhavam ashrita. Anyone who is not surrendered to Krishna is most sinful person, duskriti, a rascal, mudha, and the lowest of men, naradama. Therefore, one should not avoid the association of Vaishnavas, which are now available all over the world in the form of the Krishna consciousness movement. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Mastaya Bhutale Srimate Rama Paraswami Nitikamide. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Mastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyabadi Pashatyade Satarine. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So Srila Narada Muni continues instructing the two sons of Kuvera, Managriva and Nalakuvera, basically chastising them just prior to utter the course that will be a corrective measure for their loss of consciousness, of their fall down. So he's been for the past few verses pointing out the dangers of wealth, position, birth that is acquired from piety. So in general, these are the result of religiosity, of following the Vedas, of good life. So these opulence are given by nature. And naturally, because this is the result of pious, this is piety, then all this opulence can be utilized for further or facilitate, and their facilities for actually continue the path of growing in consciousness or evolving in our consciousness, so becoming self-realized, which is the purpose of life. But it's a double source, how you say, double-edged knife or double sword. Yes, you got it. So it's a razor. So if you don't use it carefully, you can cut yourself. It's very useful, and it's a great facility, but very easily one can become bewildered by such things. We heard before Krishna also telling Arjuna that in general, people are attracted to these things. There is a seed that is in the heart of all conditioned souls. And when we call about all conditioned souls, is every living entity that comes into contact with material nature have this seed within the heart, which is a desire, this desire to enjoy material nature is there. Krishna tells not only that desire, but also this animosity towards Krishna, which is a bit shocking. What is it? Dwanda Mohena Bharata. How's the star? Icha Dvesha Samutena Dwanda Mohena Bharata. That we have this Icha and we have Dvesha. Desire and hate. So it's there, it's the initial thing that is within the heart of all conditioned souls. So the process, material life is designed and is arranged by Krishna in such a way to facilitate the living entity coming from that, or healing or eliminating that thing that brings us down into the material world, which is this desire and hate. So what is this desire? The desire is to lord over or to take the position of the enjoyer and the controller, to be the Ishwara or the Param Ishwara, to take the position of Krishna, of God, which is the enjoyer and the controller. And then the hate is that there can only be one supreme controller, so we don't like, so you, there's animosity or envy. The word dvesha also is translated as envy. So envy towards Krishna because he has that position. So that desire is there. And by following the process of dharma, which is given by Krishna, then one gradually elevates oneself out of that position. These things start to be purified. However, because it's a disease, if we're not carefully following the guidance and the process, then one can very easily go wrong. Very easily. It's something like if you have a very terrible disease or some very strong type of ailment or disease that is very much ingrained in your body. So there is medicine, there is a process to actually treat that. There's a medicinal science that will deal with that to heal yourself. Now, common sense is that the medicinal science have to be administered by someone who knows medicine, a doctor. I don't go to, you know, my roommate and say, okay, you know, tell me what to do about my arthritis. Actually, everybody, I've been suffering a little bit with this. And then so many friends give me advice. Oh, you take this, oh, you take this, oh, you take this, oh, you take this. Oh, this is very good. This is very good. But that you appreciate very much the love and the affection and the caring of your friends, but that doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. One have to go to a proper physician, a doctor, and the doctor prescribe the right thing accordingly. So I go to an Ayurvedic doctor, a good one, and then this person is able to pinpoint. I give you an example. I went to the Ayurvedic doctor. It's so subtle, the prescription according to your body, that things that in general they're supposed to be good, they don't necessarily work for your particular, you know, constitution. So in general, massaging one's body when you have a particular, massaging one's body with mustard oil, which is heating, is very good. You know, in general, one thinks like that. It's a very good oil for massaging. Srila Prabhupada used to use it. So, it's common knowledge. So you need, massaging helps eliminate toxins out of the body, you know, and it helps circulation, it helps, okay, so it's very positive. And this oil is very good. But the Ayurvedic doctor tells me, for my constitution, this oil will make, will have a contrary effect. So I have to use some other type of oil. So what I'm saying is that there is an expert who prescribes. The following of prescription have to be guided by expert, and this is the system that Krishna has created. Krishna has given the laws of dharma, the codes of religion to guide human society, and that codes of dharma have to be guided by someone who is a samadarshana. Or someone who is a tattva-darshi or samadarshi, someone who is an elevated, an expert. So when society is guided on that system, then it's progressive, consciousness is progressive. But if we decline or take for granted or simply stop following the principles under the guidance, or we concoct our own way to follow the principles without being properly guided, is as good as you making your own prescription to actually cure yourself of a particular disease. You can make yourself worse. And in general, you do. And in this case, we see here that if we don't actually able to, you know, by receiving a strength or health or beauty, education, all this wealth, all this type of a resource of piety, and we become complacent and start, okay, I got it, I'm good, you know, then these things, Prabhupada explains, without guidance, they simply generate pride. And with pride, you think you're better than everybody else. So we see this in this. Srila Narada Muni is pointing out that this is happening in the society of demigods. Even in the society of demigods, that is a highly pious society, this is happening, and here's the proof. The sons of Kuvera, Manegriva and Nala Kuvera, they're basically so blinded and bewildered by this Bhoga and Aishwarya that they completely neglected the association of elevated saintly persons. And not only neglected, but actually insulted or being disrespectful towards. And that is the result of misguided of being misguided. So it's very important that in all levels, actually the Sri Upanishad tells that there is no other alternative to actually be happy and peaceful that without following the principle of Ishavasya, the principle of that there is a supreme controller and everything belongs to him and he is the provider. So if we live happily, if we accept those principles, then we can live happily. There's no alternative for that. So there's only one alternative to live a progressive, happy, prosperous life in this material existence, which is simply following Krishna's program. So if that happens in the society of demigods, if that happens in a Vedic society, what to speak of nowadays when there is a society that is not supported by Vedic principles? In the society, the Vedic society, you can always bounce back and appreciate because you're growing with that knowledge. And you can recognize, oh, you know, it's more mainstream. You're not the body, the laws of Dharma. You have to actually pursue Dharma. Even demons, you know, have a sense of, you know, how that in order to obtain their desires wealth and powers, they have to follow some Vedic principles. They have to be charitable. You know, Jarasandha was very charitable to Brahmanas, but completely vicious to others. Both Hiranyakashipu and Ravana, they worship, you know, one worship Lord Shiva, the other worship, you know, Lord Brahma, like that. So there's a sense of, you know, an acknowledgement of the Vedic system, Krishna system. But now, in this modern society, there is no support of that. There's nothing to bounce back, or there's not a background that one can actually see, but rather, it's completely the contrary. So the opposition that a saintly person have to face in modern days is much, much greater. It's much, much greater than what we hear in the narrations. The principles remains the same. That a society that is focused and that glorifies and sees as the goal of life economic development and sense gratification is a society that will be degraded, and actually individually and socially, individually and collectively, it will be degraded, and won't have any type of attraction nor respect for those who are dedicated to the personality of Godhead. So, for the devotees, Prabhupada makes the case that the instruction is that we should actually take advantage of the association with saintly persons. This is the conclusion of the scriptures. Lord, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya expressed us that sadhu sangha, sarva, siddhi hoy, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva, so this is sarva shastra hoy, is it like that, no? Not the other one. That it is the conclusion of all the shastras, sarva shastra hoy, that even a moment of association with a saintly person, lava matra, can give sarva siddhi hoy, all perfection. But nowadays, the devotees of the Lord face so much opposition. So here's some of the big time oppositions that the devotees face in their work of spreading Krishna consciousness in this world. The first one is this secularization of society. It's big time. And this is pervading all over the world. So from that, then you have all these opponents. From the secularization means that is the elimination of religion in the mainstream or the education or the common beliefs of society. So religions becomes like a side thing. It's something that is your personal choice, and it's something that is also sometimes as a support for achieving the goals of your life, which is, again, economic development and sense gratification. So it's something that will simply give you some moral balance in order to achieve your goals. And then, so secularism is to create a society that is focused on material principles, on material goals, materialistic society. So from that godless civilization, Prabhupada talks like that, then we have all these opposing parties towards the devotees. Especially when you do book distribution, some of the devotees, the book distributors came back. Some of the devotees went, you know, in book distribution the other, you know, yesterday and these few days. I saw the pictures, everybody happy. One's constantly faced, there's so many times going on Harinam, facing this opposition. So when you preach, you find this, that there is first the materialist and the atheist. They oppose the devotees. Then you have Christians, other religions, Christian heresies, those who heretics or heresies, I think is when you introduce sort of different interpretations and decry the orthodox. I think that's you introduce ideas that are contrary or opposing to the teachings of the particular church, in this case of the Christians. So you have, I think it goes into Protestants, and then goes into that, and then you know it starts to different, all kinds of different offshoots of the original religion. There's also opposing, so there's all these ideas that are there. There's so many sects of Christianity, and we live in this U.S. is a Christian, mostly it's Judeo-Christian country. Even among themselves, they're quite opposing. So, but they all, you know, this is something that we have to encounter. Agnostics, Jehovah Witness, Mormons, Muslim, Buddhists, Smarta, Shaivas and Shaktas, Mayavadis, New Agers, internal opponents, Vaishnavas of other Sampradayas, other Gaudiyas, Gaudiya Apa Sampradayas, ex-devotees, and our own minds. This is a nice article that is here. So this is all caused by this very purpose secularism of the world. And the principle, I mean, the idea of secularism is to get rid of religion. And with religion, is fantastic, because the word religion comes from the Latin word religion. Re is to reunite or reconnect or link. That's what it means, religion, which is the same of, is the same root or the same meaning of the word yoga. To reconnect, yukta, to reconnect. To reconnect with the absolute truth. So that's the purpose of religion. So, but the thing of secularism is that to have a society that is fully focused on sense gratification, you have to take this out of the picture. Rather, it becomes an obstacle for that, because people by faith, and there's rules and there's codes that have to be followed. But secularism becomes a reaction to the misuse of religious leaders through this Kali Yuga, which has been corrupted. And so then the result is that you're trying to create a solution of something. Prabhupada gives the example that this is the solution. It's an impersonal solution. It's an atheistic solution. That if you have a boil in your arm or in your hand or something, then the solution is to cut the arm. So then no more, or cut the hand, then there's no more problem. But That's a very crazy solution, to say the least. So, get rid of God. So, there is a... Then, obviously, why is that? Then you see that there is the two, when you put religion and secularism, then you have these very opposing views of reality of the world. And then you can see how you have one or you have the other. You can actually combine these two. You have to, they're quite opposing. So in terms of identity, secularism propounds this idea of you're the body, the material body. And religion is that is non-material, you're the soul. In terms of existence, the temporary existence is the godless society from birth to death, and eternal is the existence eternal for religion. The authorities and values, an individual view, all equal, and there's some support man-made laws of democracy. That's the authority. So it's the sum total of the individual's opinions, you know, and then that's the prevailing thing of democracy. At least we're talking about this part of the world. Religiosity is the laws of God. God, the superiority of God, the authority of God. The evidence in the secular world is empirical. Again, one's opinion, someone's opinion. And in religion is the opinion of God and the saints, the scriptures. Religion itself, for in the secular world, is a choice, a hobby. You should not take it that seriously. It's something, a support. In real religion, is the duty, is a way of life, is actually the essence of existence, as well religion, it's dharma. So, when the world starts to become secular, then there's a natural degradation also of all the bona fide religions. And it happens gradually, and you can see how with the passing of time, what we end with is actually an atheism. And that you see that trend in all major brands of religions, branches of religion. So for example, from Vaishnavism, Sanatana Dharma, then the gradual degradation towards Hinduism. Now it becomes, you know, everything, you know, this sort of impersonal, you know, overarching type of concept of religion, of the Vaishnavism or the Vedas. And then it goes into monism, impersonalism, and then atheism. Same happens with devotional Buddhism. Then it becomes atheistic Buddhism, which, you know, Lord Buddha becomes also. The teachings of Lord Buddha are almost like not non-existent. Even I hear that the Dalai Lama, revered leader of the Buddhists, he eats meat. That's what I sort of read, which is like, how? It's not possible. What about ahimsa? But somehow or other, I'm not too well informed, but I sort of heard that. Catholicism, the teachings of, you know, the original teachings of Lord Jesus that came down through the disciples of Lord Jesus. Then it comes into Protestantism, then humanism, liberalism, and then atheism. It goes down that route. So like that, many of the religions have to, you know, go through that, that eventually, I mean, right now, Islam and then this jihadism type of thing, how the pure teachings or the teachings that are there given by the saintly persons in different religions have gradually been degraded by the influence of a secular world that leads towards atheism. We see how that was very much applied. Prabhupada quotes often the example of the communist Russia and how they decried the strategy that they have was to play with people's faith by saying, so you go to God and you ask for bread. Are you getting bread? And then, you know, Prabhupada said in his wonderful way, then he said, no, sir, I'm not getting no bread. So now ask us, the Communist Party, for bread. My dear Communist Party, please give us bread. Here's bread. Yes, sir. So who is superior? You are superior. The Communist Party. So, and then Prabhupada say, but you fools, that's exactly how God is providing bread for you. You ask God for bread, God uses these fools and rascals to give you bread. So there's this strategy to eliminate God, to go at people's faith. And the other strategy that the secular world have done is so many, when it's just actually pitting religions against religion. In general, you have people living in a religious society, say in the Vedic society, there was a very harmonious coexistence of people with different natures, that they have different religious principles assigned according to their nature. So peoples in the mode of ignorance were recommended to follow certain rules and regulations, which included meat eating and drinking of liquor, but they would do it in certain regulated way. They have to offer to Goddess Kali, etc., etc. And like that, for people in the mode of passion and ignorance, in the mode of goodness, like that, everybody had particular prescriptions, and they all were living very, very much in harmony, because at the end, everything have a very common goal, which was self-realization, elevation. So with this strategy of divide and conquer, you introduce conflict, divisions, not only between religions and religions, between cultures and cultures, and like that. So with that type of conflict and division, then the control that is there of atheistic leaders is very much settled. So therefore, you have things that are from all senses, you have a word that is completely controlled by views that are atheistic, and they do it through divisions between cultures, between religions, but they also do it through other means, political, economic, environmental, health. Like, for example, this sort of modern idea that man have to correct the mistakes of nature, the mistakes of God. So therefore, by science, we can actually overcome all these ills, meaning old age, disease, and death. We can conquer that. This is a mistake of God. Why, if God is all good, why he allows you to go sick? Why not everybody live a perfect life? Why do you have to die? What is this creation of God? Obviously, there's no God. But we can act, and we can actually conquer nature. Or we can, if you believe in God, well, there's a God that is not perfect, so we can fix the problems. So then we create all these medicines, you know, to create, to cure disease that are terribly harmful. Terribly harmful. And with no solution, which is the worst thing. So politically, economically, and so on. So this whole atmosphere of secularism, of materialism, is terribly opposed and create a big obstacle for devotees' work. So the question is, boy, should we even try? And the answer is that the special mercy of Lord Chaitanya is there for the misguided society of this misguided world, secular world. And you do it through purification, the power of the purifying power of the Sankirtan mission or the Sankirtan movement. The Sankirtan movement is compared to a tsunami that is actually coming to inundate everything. So sometimes, because of our not being fully mature in our faith, we don't understand the influence of the Sankirtan mission, because we just see that people are not necessarily immediately changing, or they're not, you know, immediately open when we as devotees, we go out and preaching. But the fact is that in the worldwide movement is creating a huge change. And as the time pass, we're just in the beginning, what is called the dawn of this golden age that is going to be completely a 10,000 year period of Krishna consciousness in this world, within this Kali Yuga. And this is what Lord Chaitanya has provided for people. And this is what we are, by some inconceivable fortune, part of. It's a historical, universally historical event that somehow or other we landed by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's followers to be part of. And is going to take up the world. It's going to change things. We can have faith on that on the basis of Krishna himself, Lord Chaitanya, saintly persons, the great Vaishnava Acharyas, and the scriptures. We can have faith on that. And we simply carry out our duty to bring Krishna consciousness into the public, bring Krishna consciousness, continues doing that work. And that is the solution. It's a revolution that is meant to change the misguided society that is being victimized by this atheistic, you know, way of life. So some thoughts on that. Any comments or questions? Yes, right there, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Do you think all the other sampradayas will come together under our sampradaya?
That is what Lord Chaitanya says. Yes.
Will that happen in our lifetime?
Maybe not in a lifetime, but for sure, yes.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, thank you for your class. Get my notes. You were mentioning, the verse from the Bhagavatam says the synonyms that saintly persons are equal to everyone. And you were also mentioning that generally speaking, people have no respect to those who are dedicated to spirituality. But we see that's not necessarily true. Like, people are very much have respect for leaders who are appointed, because we hear from the Bhagavatam that there are essentially two leaders, those who are appointed and those who are anointed. King Rahugana was appointed and Jatabharta was anointed. But King Rahugana says, oh, I didn't know you were so dedicated to the Lord. You like a bum. So, you know, I didn't have any respect for you. But then he's like, please forgive me. And we see that before Prabhupada was appointed as the leader of ISKCON, he was anointed as the leader of ISKCON. But there was no respect for Prabhupada until he was appointed. And we see, like you were mentioning the other day, you says it's very easy to show respect to your superiors. And we see that that's kind of the... In the ultimate sense, the demoniac mentality in the material world, we see that people show respect to those who are rich, police officers, rich donors, police officers, or even our professors, and even the guru, the spiritual master. We would never tell the guru before we're initiated, Guru Maharaj, your class is so boring. Can I get initiation? No. Or you would never tell a rich donor, you're so materialistic. Can I get a donation? No. Nor would you ever sell police officers. So we see that goes on all the time. And so one thing I appreciated from this verse, it says saintly persons are equal to everyone. That means they show respect to whether you're appointed or whether you're nobody. And so one of my favorite analogies is that a long time ago, I was watching one analogy of the world's tallest building being built in Dubai. And it was actually made of concrete. And I didn't know this before this, but in order to test the quality of the concrete, they took a small block of concrete and they put this block under hydraulic pressure. If the concrete broke or cracked after a little pressure, it was a bad mixture. And if it tolerated a lot of pressure, it was a good mixture. And we see that the saintly persons, Prahlad, Ambarish Maharaj, Haridas Thakur, they were put under very severe peer pressure. And Prahlad was thrown on the elephants, Haridas Thakur was beaten in 22 marketplaces, but he was still equal to his friends and equal to his enemies. I wish you well. I wish you that you advance in Krishna consciousness. So we see in the material world, when products break down, you know, easily, they're not attractive. When they don't, they're attractive. And so sometimes people say, so my question is essentially is that My last point I would like to mention is that we see that when people say, when we become too attached to our upadhi of our position or our wealth, then naturally the tendency is that I have more power than you, then why should I respect you? Like Sobari Muni, he had a position of power, and when he criticized Garuda, he wasn't inclined to respect him. His quality of his character broke down, you know, only during a little pressure. And because of this aparad, he married 50 women. Lord Krishna took the title of celibacy from him. So there's that verse that says, Sarvapati Virnamutam Tapadatwena Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchate. So Bari Munis was attached to the upadhi of celibacy, but he forgot that Lord Krishna is Hrishikesha, the master of the senses, and because of this aparad, because the quality of his character broke down only a little pressure, the Lord had to humble him. So my question is, what are some steps we can move forward to, like this beginning, this verse says, be equal to everyone? Because if we're not, then we'll save ourselves a lot of embarrassment. And we see this goes on in the material all the time. Great leaders, they criticize people for being gay, lesbian, and then later on they found that they're gay, lesbian, or they'll fall down for some reason. And we see that, why? Because too attached to a party is the position. So what are some steps we could do to be equal to everyone in all circumstances?
Well, you say it very much in the comments. One recognizes that one is influenced by these material designations. So we have to be very much guarded of that propensity that we all have. You know, as long as we have some bodily identification, we have to be in the process of purifying that. So that's the business that we as sadhakas have, is a process of purification. We're committed to purification. And purification means we have to follow prescription, prescribed activities, regulated activities given by the spiritual master, guided by the spiritual master. So it's what I was trying to bring this idea that we recognize that we're ill, that we have this disease, this bodily disease, and we have to follow a process of healing, and that process have to be guided by an expert. So we're committed to that, and that's the important part of having an understanding and appreciation of what we're receiving. We're receiving the means actually to come out of a ill, diseased society, a way of life. And then we have the responsibility to help others also to share that process. And we're representing Prabhupada. He says that when he refers to the sadhus that should be appreciated in society that are in the form of the Krishna consciousness movement, we are the Krishna consciousness movement. We are part of the Krishna consciousness movement. So it's important that we also embrace that gift. Can you open? You want to unlock that? So, like that. Yes, Dolly Mataji.
Thank you. My question, I don't know, it's if it makes sense or not. So you said that even among the demigods, they still have this Aishwarya?
Aishwarya Baba, yeah.
What was the meaning of Aishwarya?
This desire to be the controller, or the sense of being a controller.
So, even among the demigods, do they also have to attend back to Godhead?
Yeah, there is. They can follow a progressive path, and so you go. There's seven different levels of planet heavenly region. And the highest one is Lord Brahma, and it's explained that all the heaven inhabitants of Brahmaloka, at the end of, you know, the lifespan of Lord Brahma, then they go back home, back to Godhead. Okay. That's. But also we hear, it's a little. This part I'm not so conversant with, but there's also the part that you can also degrade from that position. So, in general, there's no security. There's a system that allows all living entities to go back home to Godhead, which is Krishna's system, the Ishavasya principle. But you can actually deviate from that very easily, you know, and fall down just by some lack of care or improper association. So it can happen even to a demigod. Prabhupada says that there is dangers even in the royal road, right? So we can take it for granted.
Thank you very much.
Anything else? It's back to Alex for.
Thank you for class, Subal Prabhu. I was appreciating your points about some of the opposition we'll face, just the society in general. I met a man the other day. He was wearing a necklace. I said, "Oh, hey, I like your necklace." His response was, "Oh, I'm atheist. This is the atheist symbol." And I was stunned. I didn't know what to say. I was wondering what we can do. How can we help those who are atheists? Like, is it our responsibility?
Well, our responsibility is to carry out the Sankirtan mission, the sharing. And then the overall effect of the devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement I have in the world, we cannot we individually cannot see, but the collective thing that is happening in the world, you know, we see it's slowly, you know, happening. For our perspective, it's unnoticeable, but it's happening. How things are becoming, as things are becoming more degraded, people are becoming more open. Like this devotee in New York, Kostuba Prabhu, from the Bhakti Center, was sharing with me. We were discussing about, you know, this idea of opening, you know, this mantra yoga center, you know, in Chicago. And he says that the statistics now in this country is that 4 out of 10 persons are doing some type of meditation and open to some type of meditation. That's almost half of the population of this country that is searching for means, you know, and being open towards meditation. Where is this coming from? For vegetarianism, you know, holistic approach, alternatives that are there, is becoming more and more mainstream. This is the influence of Srila Prabhupada in the world. We don't know how many millions of books we distribute. And in each of those books, there is, Prabhupada says, is the Bhagavatam words. There's a revolution meant to change this whole, you know, atheistic world. Those books are there. They don't go away. they're there, and they landed in the hands of someone, it's going to be there. And that person is going to be influenced by that. So it's happening. We just don't have, you know, we can see it immediately, but, you know, but it's happening. So we have to have faith, continue. It's our job. It's part of, you know, the means that we have to actually become free. It's wonderful because it's not only freeing us, but then we also contributing to free the whole world in a, you know, a small way. All right, I'm going to stop here. Grantara Shriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.